welcome to class today. It's good to see you all here.
I don't think my microphone's on. I'm still not sure it's on.
I can hear the microphone. Let's try a different microphone. Meanwhile, any questions, comments, concerns, or other things for me? Okay, I've had a few people ask about the final. So if you look on the schedule, the final is listed on the schedule. Actually, let's look on the schedule and see this. If you look on the schedule, if the projector will show anything. All right, well, wow, the projector's running up. On the end of the schedule, that shows that the final is going to be on Tuesday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Classes that have multiple sections often get lumped into 7 p.m. finals. We are one of them. If you happen to be in one of the others, you will have a conflict with that final. About a month before the final, we'll send out a form where you can describe what your conflict is, and we'll try to find some other time that we can have finals for people with conflicts. This is described in some text in front of the schedule, but you won't need to worry about it. We will figure out something. Ah, there it is. So, right, that last paragraph before the schedule describes what's going to happen. So I had that question. As a consequence of attending lab yesterday, you should now have Eclipse and Java installed on your computer. If you do not have Eclipse and Java installed in your computer, find someone that can help you get them installed. We'll start using those, not really in seriousness until a week from today, but we'll use it through the rest of the semester, so you've got a little time to figure it out between now and then, but do make sure you figure it out. And there's no class on Monday, in case you didn't know. Yes? I'm sorry? If you're having trouble getting Eclipse to work, then get somebody to help you. So come to office hours. My office hours are already posted. We'll get TA office hours posted in the next day or so. You can find them all on the calendar link on the course website. And we'll figure out what's going wrong. Or possibly try following directions in the lab write-up again, and see if you skipped a step. Other questions? Okay. So today, we are going to talk about ambiguity. Ambiguity is an interesting topic in computing because it is the one thing computers cannot even begin to handle. You have to be clear. You have to be unambiguous when you talk to a computer. And this is a surprisingly difficult thing to do with any human natural language. So all human languages have built into them large quantities of ambiguity. It's actually surprisingly difficult to come up with a single, truly unambiguous statement in English. It can probably be done, but it takes a lot of effort. So as we look at languages for talking to computers, part of the reason there's a different language is because we don't want ambiguity. And you just can't do that with English well enough to make English work, so we make our own. So as we're making a language without ambiguity, we're going to try to make a language for describing how to do things, in particular describing how to mess with information. And so we're going to start off today with a little exercise of you trying to describe something unambiguously. So what we're going to do deals with paper airplanes. I do not know what a paper airplane is and or how to make one. Okay. If you were one of the two people that kind of raised your hands and then thought better of it, work with somebody sitting next to you. So here's the activity. We're going to give you pieces of paper. You are going to write on the paper unambiguous instructions for how to make a paper airplane. These need to be textual, okay? So you're welcome to use the paper airplane to try out various things as you go along, but in the end there should be text that describes what to do. It should not say, See this crease in the paper I left for you? Fold that. It has to be unambiguous, textual, no pictures. Okay? Describing how to make a paper airplane. After you write that, we're going to move it, shuffle them around the room, and somebody else is going to try to follow your directions. Perhaps not in the nicest way possible. We'll talk more about that as we go. Questions about what this activity entails? Okay, so I have some paper here, and we'll start distributing it around. We will give you about 8 to 10 minutes to write down how to make your paper airplane. So try to get a complete description of how to make a paper airplane in that time, and then we'll come back and talk about what we learned from this experience. Paper, and we have gotten to your part of the room, hold up your hand and leave it up until you do have paper. Okay, so I encourage you to talk with somebody else.
Yeah. See where this is going.
Oh dear.
Yes.
Precognition is a very dangerous thing. Don't let it out.
Okay.
Out of everything.
Got about a minute left, so if you need to go a little hastier and add a little more ambiguity to get it done, go ahead and do that. If you've already finished, you might want to try debugging your instructions, i.e. try them out and see if they actually describe what you wanted them to describe, or if they describe something else. The next thing that's going to happen, okay? You're going to trade directions with somebody that you did not work with or talk to while writing it, okay? And then you're going to try to follow their directions, but let me talk about how you're going to do that. You're going to follow exactly what they said, and anywhere you notice some ambiguity in how to interpret it, you're going to interpret it the wrong way. Okay? So if it says, fold the paper in half, you must fold it in half. But you can pick any arbitrary half you like, as long as it ends up in half. Right? It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do what they said. Not what they meant. So find somebody to trade papers with. Try it out. See if you can make their airplane as they describe it.
Why you're armored, right?
Experience of this.
Once you finish following the directions, try throwing the airplane that's created down to the front of the room. It probably won't go very far. So don't be surprised if you get hit by paper on the back of your head. I haven't been hit by an airplane yet. The 1 o'clock class managed to get lots of them to the front somehow. Saw. If you haven't finished following directions, you can. You can even keep throwing airplanes at me, but we do need to talk about some of this stuff. So, first off, did anybody receive some really cool directions they think ought to be shared? I like the directions I was given. Anyone? No one liked their directions. Oh my, you really don't like each other, do you? Okay. So I have here the first few that landed on the floor. I opened up and read. I like the first step in this one. Obtain a piece of white computer paper. The bag is located on the table in the front of the auditorium. I thought to say you need a piece of paper somewhere in my directions. Like five of you. All right, right. So there's lots of things. How many of you think that at least some of your directions are actually unambiguous? There's no way to get them wrong. Okay, so about half of us think at least some of our directions are actually unambiguous. It turns out there's a huge amount of ambiguity in almost any direction. So, let's practice. I want somebody to volunteer a direction they believe is unambiguous. Let's start with, how do you describe how the first fold in most of these airplanes is sort of lengthwise down the middle-ish, whatever. What's an unambiguous way of describing that? You had your hand? Yeah.
Fold the paper vertically down the center, maybe
loose. Okay, so we want to fold vertically down center and crease. Okay? All right, so vertically, let's pause and think about our directions. We have the horizontal directions, and we have the vertical direction. Okay? So I need to fold it vertically. Maybe that means both sides come up, okay? Down the center, so vertically down. Sorry, we're folding it vertically down, and the part of it we're folding is the center, perhaps. So we want to fold the center vertically down and make a crease, okay? Now, clearly that's not what was intended, okay? Let's try something else. So let's get an unambiguous description of this step. Somebody else want to try? Yeah. All right, fold to create two symmetric rectangles. Measure, what was the measures?
4 1/4.
4 1/4 by 11 inches. Okay, is there ambiguity in this? It's pretty unambiguous, assuming we accept numbers and what inches means and symmetry, right? There's a lot of vocabulary here, but that's pretty unambiguous. It's hard to make two rectangles that size besides just folding it down the middle, right? The intended fold, okay? But you notice this is not what most people would expect. You read a book on paper airplanes, you would not expect the first statement to say, get your ruler, because you're going to have to figure out what 4 1/4 inches is. I didn't write 4 1/4 there, did I? Even though I said it. Let's change that to 4 1/4. Okay? But it is unambiguous, okay? And trying to find unambiguous things is difficult. Even this, we could come up with ambiguity there, right? I could have two pieces of paper, and I could tear off parts of one of them. There's all kinds of things I could do to mess this up. But in general, this is fairly unambiguous. Coming up with that, though, is not easy. And we're sort of moving into a different language than standard English when we start talking about inches and numbers. We're moving into the languages of math, right? Which is designed to be another unambiguous language. We'll talk some more about these things, but let's also talk a little bit about the process we went through, okay? When I gave these directions, what was the first thing you did? The first thing I attempted to do was?
Try to see what I wanted to do.
All right. See what I want to do. Somebody else start with something different. Yeah.
Envision what I want to modify to do.
All right. So, see, envision what you want the final product to be. I think that's probably about the same idea. Maybe a little less ambiguous, but that's fine. Yeah?
I just started folding.
You just started folding. All right, so a different step number one is fold. Yeah?
Started writing.
You started writing. What did you start writing?
Folding paper.
Ah, right. Fold paper. Dot, dot, dot. other first steps? Oh, let's come up here and then back.
I identified all the supplies I
need. Ah, you thought about supplies. What were the supplies you need? Okay, paper, hands. Did you mention hands anywhere in your directions?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And the back?
I labeled all the corners and inside.
Oh, you labeled the paper. Okay. Okay, there's more things we could do first, but of these step number ones, which one's probably the best? This is a hard question. It doesn't have one right answer, but we're going to take a quick informal poll. I think the first thing I should do is decide what I want. That looks like about a third of us believe that's the right thing. I think the first thing I should do should be fold. Wow, not even the person who did it. The first thing I should do is write. Nope. Nobody wants to write first. The first thing I should do is inventory my supplies. We're in the, 5% maybe of us thought that. First thing I should do is label my paper. And we're about 5% there too, which suggests that more than half of you don't think any of these things are the right thing to start with. Okay. Does anybody want to tell me what we should start with? That isn't up here? No, you just decided not to vote. I understand. Many people decide not to vote. It's one of the problems of democracy. All right, so. Remember this majority rule. You won't do this. I guarantee most of you won't do this when we ask you to program something. We'll give you an assignment. You will immediately start typing. And that's the wrong thing. And it will cause you the same kind of headaches it could cause you here. Okay? So typically what we'll do is we'll start with the idea. We start, actually before we get the idea, we read, or we listen, we understand the task, okay? Then we come up with how this is going to happen. The how and the what. What do I want at the end? How do I get there? That all happens in your head. It might have pictures, it might have folded paper. There is no coding, there is no writing instructions yet. Then there is writing. I write down some instructions. Then something most of us didn't do because we didn't have a lot of time. Try it. And it will break. It will do the wrong thing. So you either come back up to the how or you come back up to the writing, depending on how it broke. And you loop around for a long time, running through idea to write to try it to it breaks to idea to write to try it to break. And then finally you're done. Now in major software development you're not done, but that's a topic for 2110, not 1110. So for our purposes this is the process. And it's worth remembering this as we go along, right? Unambiguous writing is important. Knowing how to write unambiguously is important. It's what we'll spend a lot of time on. But if you don't know what you're trying to say, if you just start writing, you'll go nowhere quickly. Most of the time. Questions about this? Thoughts? All right. So let's talk about how we should describe how to fold an airplane. Okay? English is a singularly bad language for describing anything unambiguously, as is every other human language. We're not going to use them. We're going to write our own language. Okay? Come up with our own language for describing how you fold paper airplanes. That's its sole purpose. It doesn't need to be able to talk about whether the weather's nice. It doesn't need to be able to talk about emotions. It doesn't even need to be able to talk about anything that isn't flat. Paper folds, that's all it needs to talk about. And we're going to make it clean and unambiguous, a great language for describing paper airplanes. So anytime we write a language, we need nouns and we need verbs. Things we're talking about and things we can do to them. So, somebody, anybody, I don't care, give me a noun or a verb that is important when we're talking about paper airplanes? Something we want to talk about or do? Yes?
Fold.
Fold. Great. We want to be able to fold. Yeah. Crease. Okay. Crease. I'm assuming these are both verbs, but now as I write them, I realize both of these are also nouns. Do we want them nouns or verbs? What did you have in mind? You had verb? And you had? Verb. Okay. Yeah. Paper. I'm assuming that's a noun. You're not talking about like wrapping something? Or putting wallpaper on? Other nouns or verbs we need? Yeah. Hand? Okay. As in, or as in the thing at the end of your arm? Noun. Okay. Yeah, so far we have four words that could be either one in English. Yes?
Corner.
As a noun, as opposed to what you do when you round something. And? You said? You didn't say and.
No, I said the noun.
Corner noun.
The noun.
Yeah. Oh, we want to crease as a noun as well. So we want to talk about creases. You want to get rid of... Oh, we'll talk about getting rid of things in language in a moment, right? When Susan's on both sides, is it ambiguous? Turns out we can fix it with syntax, but we'll get there. Anything else? Yes?
A line.
Sorry?
A line.
A line. As a verb. As, oh, a line. I see. A line. A surprisingly difficult thing to describe. Yes?
Unfold.
Okay. We want to unfold. Yeah.
Side.
Sorry?
Side.
Side. I'm assuming that's a noun. Yeah.
Lift.
Lift.
And also flip.
Lift, flip. Mm-hmm.
Vertical
and horizontal. I guess that gives us a new category. Add somethings. We'll lump them all together. So we have vertical and horizontal. Or vertically and horizontally if we want them to be adverbs instead of adjectives. Yes?
Touch.
Touch as a verb? Touch the paper. How many of you referred to touch anywhere in your directions? One. Okay, well, one's enough. Right? We want a language that can describe every paper airplane out there. Yeah.
Hypotenuse.
Hypotenuse. Ooh, I like it. As a noun? Okay, we could keep going, right? There's lots of things we can add to our language. And there's a whole lot of things that we haven't talked about yet that we will need to talk about at some point, because we still haven't been able to talk about the idea like center and so on, but we'll get to those things as we go along. Now, one of the things we typically do when we're designing a language is we're going to start with a very small set. So if there is one thing here that we absolutely have to have, we cannot get away without it. What would that thing be?
Paper.
I'm hearing paper and fold. I think we must talk about paper. I don't think we need to talk about paper. I referred to paper in my instructions that I wrote. I actually talked about it. Wow. This morning's class almost no, or 1 o'clock class almost nobody did. It turns out you don't ever have to mention paper. And here's why. Paper is all there is. Okay? Paper is the entire universe. When I'm talking about a paper airplane, there is nothing but paper. I don't ever have to say paper. I can just say fold it in half. Or I can even just say fold in half. There's only one it. Right? So paper is important, but it actually doesn't need to be part of our language per se, because we never need to talk about it. We never need to talk about anything else, actually. Fold. How about fold? Is fold essential? Yes, fold is absolutely essential. No, we can get by without talking about folds. Okay, how do we get by without talking about folds? Since you're the only people that think we can.
Like I said earlier, you can just use like geometrical shapes.
Okay, but you still talked about folding, right? Create. Oh, create two rectangles. Wow, that has so much ambiguity. All right, there's actually a not uncommon paper airplane that we see. I don't know if any of you saw it. Did any of your paper say wad into a ball? No. Okay, so usually, one out of every 50 or so, the directions is wad into a little ball. That's the entire instructions. And it ends up that this flies almost as well as most paper airplanes. Right, you can get it pretty far. Doesn't mention the word create, fold or crease or any of these things. But in general, yeah, fold is really important. We want to fold things, so we're really going to have to talk about folds. Is there anything we'll probably or almost certainly want to talk about? Really key to what we're describing. Yeah?
Corner.
I referred to corners in my directions. I did not refer to corners in my directions. Wow, it's unanimous. All right, so apparently you have to talk about corners. I usually would not talk about corners in my directions, but if you all did, great, we'll talk about corners. Anything else? Yeah?
Unfold.
I can describe how to make a paper airplane without ever talking about unfolding anything. I can't. Okay, so a handful of you can, a handful of you can't, and most of you neither one. Which is fine, maybe you don't know if you can or not. Most of the paper airplanes that at least made it to the floor, there's some sort of unfolding that's happened. Right? We folded this more, we unfolded it partway. Sometimes the stiffness of paper will do that for you, but sure, we'll say we should talk about unfold. Okay? We could add more, but you start with a few. This is a reasonable set. Let's start talking about how we would do this. So, in Java, actually let's back up here. In Java and most programming languages, we don't use the word noun and verb. Noun and verb are used to describe natural languages. We use different words to mean those things in programming languages. In Java, the word we use instead of verb is method. We use the word method to describe a thing you can do. A verb, if you will. Nouns is less clear. There's several different words that mean different parts of nouns. We'll get to those later on. But for now, we're going to talk about methods. Okay? Let's talk about the method fold. Okay? And we're going to define how we fold. We are not going to be unambiguous. We are going to write this in relatively clear English. So to start with, if somebody hands you a piece of paper and says, fold, is it clear what you're supposed to do? No. What do we need more?
Which way?
Which way? All right, so how do we want to describe that? Fold what? Fold left.
Where's left?
Fold along magnetic north. Nope, directions are not going to get it to us. What do we need? Yeah?
We need to establish like a coordinate system.
We need a coordinate system. Okay, let's establish a coordinate system. What do you want our coordinate system to look like? Here, let's say a piece of paper. What do you want to make our coordinate system be?
I mean, you could do like a north, south, east, west kind of thing relative to your body. So if the paper is...
Relative to your body. Oh, I like it. Okay, so here I am, here is me sitting at the table about to fold a piece of paper, right? Oh, and we have a table, okay, good call, all right. Great. And now we're going to define coordinates. What are our coordinates?
So the north coordinate is going to be a...
Away from you?
Yeah, extending towards...
North.
Yeah.
You have to orient yourself before you sit down. Okay, so and then we'll just take everything else by the standard right-hand rule. So that would mean the east is this way and up is that way. Right? I like this coordinate system for paper airplanes. Now, let's find something else. Wow, it's a tie. All right, let's work with this. Okay? So, fold the paper north.
No, then it gives you a system would to establish like the northmost side of the paper.
Okay, so the northmost side of the paper. So fold the northmost side of the paper. Fold the northmost side of the paper towards the southmost side of the paper. So that the edges are parallel. So we have to talk about edges. We not only need a coordinate system, we need to talk about edges too and parallel. This is getting complicated. Yeah?
Rather than defining our coordinate system this way, can we just break it off into a Cartesian plane and assign like these values?
To break what up into a Cartesian plane?
Break the paper up into essentially points.
Okay, so here's my paper, and I'm going to label the points. What am I going to call them?
So, like, depending on how tall the paper is.
It's 11 inches tall.
So then you'd have values going from 0 to 11.
I see. So we have 0 here and 11 here, or the other way around?
Yeah, like that.
Okay.
And then you have the width as well, 0 to whatever.
0 to 8.5.
And then you can define any point on this piece of paper by using two numbers.
Which one comes first? Which one comes first? Where is 3, 2? Is it?
Well, do you put the height number first and the width number second?
Okay, so we could say, for example, 10, 3, which would mean right about here.
Yeah, and so then when you define folding, if you give it two coordinate numbers, then you would place them on top of it.
Okay, and then we can say fold point, point. I like this coordinate system. Not, still not very good. Neither of these are good options. We could come up with a third one.
Yeah.
All right, somebody tell me a third one. Back here.
Label the sides.
Label the sides. Okay, we're going to... Or the corners. Which one do you want?
Sides.
Okay, what did you try to label them?
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, and...
Any particular order?
Clockwise.
Clockwise. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. So like fold edge 1 into edge 3?
Yeah, just fold 2 on top of 4.
Okay, so for this version we would have something like fold side onto side. I like it. I don't like it. Oh my, we are hard to please. Yeah.
I'll divide it up into more, maybe not 4 but 8 or like 12. We divide like the 8.5 size into 2 parts. You know, so like when you do the next step.
So we do quadrants?
Or maybe more.
So we chop it into a grid and we talk about the grid? So is there any point on this paper I cannot talk about with this system?
Like right half of the one.
Oh, the right half. So everything for which the second coordinate is larger than 4.25. But I see what you mean, right? So there's different things we could do. Does it matter which one we pick? If it's unambiguous, no. But some people will be happier with one than another. So we're going to move forward with one of these. 3 that we have up so far. I think we should use the north, east, and up. I think we should use the 2 inches. I think we should use the labeled sides. Oh, wow. The 2 inches and labeled sides came really close to being a tie. Sam, which one should we do?
2 inches.
We're going to use the inches. Okay. All right. So, let's define fold. Okay, when we define methods, I may have already said this 2 slides ago. Nope, I didn't. Okay. When we define methods in Java, there's a fair amount of special syntax that goes on. We'll grab just a little bit of it. Okay, we're going to say you fold point 1, point 2. You fold 2 points. And I believe the statement was this means the fold goes through those 2 points.
No. Okay.
The fold touches those 2 points to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. So, fold, so, those points touch.
Without ripping a piece of paper.
Right, yeah, no ripping. We're going to be vaguely ambiguous in our definition here. Okay. I understand what this means. I don't get it. Okay. So we have this fold. Is this enough? Or is there any other part of what we want that we need to specify? Is there still ambiguity, assuming we accept what this means is what it means? Is there ambiguity in what will happen if I pick two points on this paper and fold so they touch? Yeah?
Depends on how big the points are, perhaps.
Points are mathematically tiny. Yes? Ah, yeah. So when I fold, does this side come up and go over there, or does this side come up and go over there? Does it matter? Does this side come up, or does it go down? Does that matter? Yeah. Right? So the orientation of the paper at the end is not really important, but which way the folding goes does make a big difference. Right? Now we could end up with both of the wings facing the same direction otherwise, right? Because the same fold would cause this one to go over here and it would just be lopsided, right? And that wouldn't fly very well, I hope. Okay? So we need some extra information. We need to make it less ambiguous about how we make this happen. Yeah? We need Z. Oh dear. All right, so if we're keeping inches, then that means that we're having our... Okay, let's see. Here's our piece of paper, right? And so this direction goes 8.5, and this direction goes 11, and then this direction goes like 0.001, or I have no idea how wide paper is. I should know. Let's see. This is about 2 inches. It's about 500 sheets, so that's a little bit too small. Like that. Coordinate system? Okay, and so then when I fold, what do I have to do? Now I need to know, if I'm having 3D, I have to know exactly the orientation of the paper. Right? We can do this. Okay? There's lots of ways of making this happen. One of the easier ones, for sake of speed, okay, is we define a top of the paper. And we define, as you're looking from point 1 to point 2, the thing on your right always comes up and folds over. So the thing on the right side of the crease becomes... as you put point 1 and point 2, point 1 always comes up. So point 1 flips over, point 2 does not. We now have a top, we have a bottom. It's unambiguous which way everything's folding. Okay? We can define these operations. There's lots of ways of doing that. And we are so running out of time. Okay? So typically when we were to work through this, what we would come up with is we have some sort of coordinate system which allows us to talk about things. In particular, like to talk about points. We'll find if we have coordinate system, we don't need corners or even edges. All we need is the points. Okay? It's sort of this context, this semantics of our language. And then we have a small number of verbs. We might have a fold, point, point, right? We might have an unfold, and we have to decide what this looks like, right? We only want to be able to unfold a particular amount. So we're going to have some ratio or percentage here. And we'll probably also have to somehow describe which fold. And we could talk about that. There's lots of choices we can make. In interest of time, we'll skim past it. And then, to describe how to fold an airplane would be this big list of these things. All we would need to say is fold, these inches fold, these inches fold, these inches unfold, 50%, away we go. Okay? It will look like code. We're not going to spend much more time on paper airplanes in this class. But the concepts here apply to programming languages. There'll be a lot more complicated, a lot more things we can do than folding and unfolding. But we'll be using these methods. We'll be using various things to define what will happen. Okay? So as we come back on Wednesday, again, there's no class on Monday, we'll talk some more about how this works. And then when we get on Friday, we'll actually start doing it on our computers. Oh, have a wonderful weekend.
It's on the course website. It's good, the syllabus. Yep.